So we had a long reading there from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1. We went through the whole creation account. So I want to take you through it again so you can remember it, okay? We'll start there for an introduction. On the first day, God created the earth with water. Okay, you got that? Number one, earth with water. Okay? Day two, we've got the earth with water and the waters being separated into the atmosphere and the waters below. Did you know that God did that? When he made the water, he had an idea for it. And the idea was that there would be water over the face of the planet, and then he would create an atmosphere. And that atmosphere is really different than it was today. And some say that's why when it rained at the time of Noah, there was so much water. The atmosphere above was like a terrarium, you know? That's the way the earth survived at that time. And then it all changed over, and that was a deluge when that came down and flooded the earth. Oh, day one had day and night, just so that you don't forget, because God created light. So we got the earth, the waters, light, day and night. The second day, water with atmosphere. Okay? Third day, he separated the waters below, and you get dry land. Now that's important because on dry land you get plants. Okay? So now you got the first day, day and night, the planets there with the water, got light. All right? Now the second day, okay, he separated the waters, and now you got atmosphere. Third day, dry land. With the dry land, you got plants. Oh, by the way, there's also rivers and streams. Okay, you got all this? All right, so far so good. On the fourth day, and this is an oddity, the sun, moon, and stars. You would think that he would create the sun, moon, and stars before the plants, right? Because if there's any more than just 24 hours, when we call a day, we would have plants looking like what? Not very good without sun. Fourth day is sun. Sun, moon, and stars. Okay, going back to the first day, what do we have? We got the earth, right, covered with water, light, day and night. The second day, right, we got the atmosphere with the water below. Third day, what do we got? Right, we got the separation of the water. So we got dry land and we got plants and then we got sun, moon, and stars. Fifth day is one of my favorites, fish. I always remember the fifth day's fish. But then you get birds too, fish and birds, okay? So now you got the fifth day with fish and birds. So going over it, the first day we had what? We had the earth, right? What's the earth covered with? Water. And then we got God creating light, and we got day and night. See, you got day one down. Well, it didn't take long. Day two is really easy, isn't it? Because he takes the water below and he gives you what? Atmosphere. And so we now have breathable atmosphere. The third day, what did he do? He took the water and he divided it and brought forth dry land. And on the dry land, he put plants. Okay, good. On the fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars. Fifth day, you can't forget fish and birds. Sixth day is a very important day. All the living beasts upon the earth. But there's something even more important there. God said, let us in our image create people, mankind. And so his work was completed with that. And with that, on the seventh day, what did he do? On the seventh day, take a nap? No, didn't take a nap. Did he go off into the heavens by himself somewhere and just meditate? No. He made himself available for worship. which is what rest or Sabbath means. Isn't that interesting? He took a special day and set it aside so that we'd be able to commune with him in a very special way. Cool. That's our God. You know, when I was growing up, I think I was old seventh grade, I had been riding mini bikes for 2 years. My dad had me on a mini bike shortly after I could ride a bicycle. Just a little Benelli. Do you know what a Benelli mini bike is? It was made in Italy. They were around, you know. To get a Benelli mini bike was really cool. To say to your friends at school, when you're only 5 years old, I got a Benelli mini bike. Man, you are great. You are at the top echelon of the pecking order. Anyway, I busted it. I broke it. And my dad said, no more of that. He said, I'm going to make you a mini bike. Indestructible. I didn't believe him. Then all of a sudden, I went into the garage, and I saw this tubing in there that he'd brought home, you know, just raw tubing. And I saw it there, and I didn't think anything of it. And I said to Dad, I see that tubing in there. I said, what's that for? And he said, well, I'm building something. Okay. And then he had bent the tubing up. My dad's what was a shop teacher, taught metals. He had bent the tubing up and welded it together in a frame so that I could see what it was. And I said, Dad, who's the mini bike for? It's got to be me, right? You promised me one. Maybe. Maybe. A week later, I went in there, and he had the tires on there, which was really cool because I wanted to get it down so bad and wheel it around without a motor on it. That just really looked cool. Dad, I get that mini bike, right? We'll see. He worked some more. I went down there, and he had the motor on it, fastened just in the right place, but no chain, no cables, no throttle, no brakes. By the way, it's a good thing to have brakes. And I said, Dad, that's for me, right? Well, we'll see. When can I have it? I'm not so sure. By the way, this was in April. My birthday's in May, okay? Went out there, and I watched the progress, and oh, it was way too slow. He put a chain on one time, and that was it. And I think he could have got more done that day, but he was teasing me. Not sure, but that was my dad. Went out there, and I saw he had a cable on for a throttle. And I went in there, and I went like this, you know, and I saw the little throttle cable move and the carburetor bell fly go up and down. Ooh, this is close. It took him like a week and a half to put the brakes on. But when he had the brakes on, I said, let's get it down, Dad. I want to go for it. How do you know it's yours? It's got to be mine. Could be your brother's. No, it's got to be mine. By the way, it had to be painted. And so it must have took him a whole weekend to paint the darn thing, you know. He painted it red, flashy red. When it was all done and painted, he lifted it off the bench, he brought it down, set it on the ground, he rolled it over, and he said, happy birthday, son. It's for you. I want to ride it. Not till your birthday, not till you wear your helmet. I had to wait till my birthday and put my helmet on. And when I did, and my birthday rolled around, I didn't care about the birthday cake. I didn't care about the birthday party. I didn't care about the cards. I didn't care about anything. I wanted to ride that mini bike. That's all I wanted. What does that have to do with Genesis chapter 1? Everything. God set the whole thing up. He set up the earth with the water. He set it up. He gave the earth light and created day and night. Which, by the way, means that we can sleep and rest. Then he took that earth with the water on it and the day and the night, and he gave us breathable air and water that would circulate and get cleaned through circulation and watering of the plants and the plants could make oxygen. We could breathe. Then he took the waters and he separated them so that there'd be dry land. Because I'm not a fish, are you? We need dry land. And we need plants. By the way, in the beginning, I don't think we ate meat. From everything I read in the book of Genesis, we just ate vegetation. It wasn't until later that we were introduced to meat. Boy, there were some good vegetables to eat, though, way back when. And then he said, you know what? So that you can tell time and you know where you're at and what it means to be on this earth and the goodness of all that I have done, I'll set the sun, moon, and stars up there in space. And with all of that, you'll never forget that I'm the one who's made these things. By the way, have you noticed how people have got that switched around these days? Astrology and that. Anyway, on the fifth day, being the kind and gracious creator he was, he gave us the fish. So a guy like me can get away and do what I think I was sometimes born to do. Be out there on the water, or perhaps enjoy the birds on the back porch of the house. Then even being more gracious, he gave us all the creatures of the world. And at that time, of course, none of them were mean, wild, vicious. None of them were what we would call anything other than kind of domesticated. And when God had finished all of this, he said, now I can get to what I really want to do. In our image, I'm going to make mankind. He's going to make you. You, whoever you are, he's going to make you. That's why all this is here. It's all about you. He said, in our image. And that's why we have the reading, because this is really for Holy Trinity Sunday. If you look at the creation account, we've got the Spirit hovering over the face of the death. We've got God doing this creating and the Word of God making all things coming into existence. That's Jesus. And then he said, this is good. So the three of them work together and then everything operates as it's supposed to be and is in place for you. For you. Let us make man in our image. That doesn't mean that God has two eyes, a nose, a mouth, a head, and arms and legs. I know in the Bible, God is personified so that we can get a better grasp of what he might be like and what he does for us, but God is spirit. The Bible says that. So what could his image be? Anything other than the fact that we have a spirit, which we do. He is spirit. He gave us spirit so that we can have a relationship with one another. And of course, back then when he was created, that relationship was just as it should be. It worked properly and right. In other words, man saw himself under the Creator, in a right relationship with the Creator, being provided all things that he need, knowing that all creation was made for him. He loved God and wanted to be with God. And God was on his mind in such a way that when the seventh day rolled around, he couldn't do anything other but just spend the whole day recreating with God. Of course, all the rest of the week was like that too, to some extent. But a lot of it was spent in the garden with the things that God had created to his joy. To his joy. Which, of course, leads me to today. Are you still the crown of God's creation? I don't know if we still really get that. I think most of us are kind of stuck in trying to figure out where the world came from and listening to others who have all kinds of things to say about where the world came from, how old it is, and how you're unimportant. just a speck in all of creation, somehow coming into being, somehow going to die, go on, meaningless, of no purpose. Boy, I hope you don't feel that way. I could go through that whole order of creation again, remind you what they are, but the most important thing about all of that is it was created for you. You're not a speck in all of creation. Your life isn't meaningless. Who you are isn't without purpose. Purpose is simple. Know God, love God, have God, be in communion with God. To know that wherever you are, there He is. And that in His presence, here, you can have that in a special way through the promise that God has made that He would be present in the speaking of His word when you come to the altar and receive the body and blood, when you were baptized. That's all that special seventh-day stuff. God's with you the other 6 days too in a very special and viable way. Cleansing you, renewing you, providing for you, sending you out to be His hands and His feet and His mouth and His eyes, to take your body and enliven it with the Spirit so that it have a purpose beyond just living, breathing, trying to provide for yourself, disciplining your kids, earning a buck, the rest of it. Don't let anybody tell you that you're unimportant. Don't let anybody tell you that you're just another one of billions. Don't let anyone say to you, creation, it doesn't really matter. It does. It really does. Because it's all meant for you. It's meant for your tomorrow. It's meant for your well-being. And it's meant for your joy and happiness. I get to go on vacation for a week, leaving Friday, and I'm going up to Canada to fish. And I'm going to leave you with a thought. According to what I've heard from creationists, they used to say the earth was 2 to 3 billion years old. That's pretty good differentiation, 2 to 3 billion. That's only a billion years difference. Now they're saying somewhere between 6 and 10 billion years. Oh, that's only a difference of 4 billion years. Can't you get it more accurate than that? If you have any evidence at all. But here's the one that really gets me. I can go over here to Fort Atkinson and catch a walleye. Now look at that walleye. Take a picture of it. I'll go up to Canada and I'll catch a walleye. I'll look at it. I'll take a picture of it. I'll remember what the differences are in my mind and I'll look at the pictures and look at the differences and guess what? There are no differences. They're the same. Now, they say there was a glacier that came through here and it froze up everything about 10,000 years ago. I don't care if it was 20,000 years ago. How can that fish here look the exact same and be the exact same as the one I catch 1,000 miles north of here? How did that happen? You know what somebody told me one time? Eggs got on birds and they flew them around. I don't think so. I think the hand of God is involved. And it's not just so that I can look at these two fish and wonder. No. I enjoy the fish in both lakes. I enjoy the recreation. I enjoy getting out. I enjoy the recreating. I enjoy being around what God has done for me and remembering it and knowing that the grace of God in Christ is that important to me, that God would lay down His life for me, forgive my sins, and give me that promise of eternal life. All that and a fish that looks the same here and one way up there. I don't know, maybe God changed my way of thinking. Amen.